Grace to you, strength, joy, and love from Jesus Christ our King and God our Father. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about angels, and especially, do we have guardian angels? Do we have spirits that God sets over us to guard us and keep us in our ways? Do all people have guardian spirits, guardian angels, that is? Are evil spirits also assigned to some people? Let's talk today about the unseen heavenly places so that we can have God open the scriptures to us and give sight into things that we can't normally see with our eyes. And what does God teach us then about the angelic host, about spirits, and do they actually guard us and keep us as we journey through life on our way homeward bound to heaven above and the world to come? Let's see what we can learn about that today by God's word. So first of all, let me ask this question. Are spirits real? Are there actually angels? Well, let's take a look and see what scripture teaches very clear. Job chapter 38. We read, God puts Job in his place. I love this. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, Job? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The sons of God here are angels. So they were there at the very start of creation. Picture it. God is spreading out the world fresh and new, and there are the angels rejoicing in God's works. We also see in the days of Abraham, over here in Genesis 19, we read, two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, what were those angels sent for? To destroy, in this case, to bring God's vengeance upon the wicked cities for their evil deeds. Angels appear. Let's take a look over here at Genesis 32. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's army. Have you ever heard of the term the Lord of hosts? Of course you have. That's all through scripture. That the word actually means the Lord of armies, of angel armies. And so they met Jacob on the way. We read a moment ago when Jesus says, when one sinner repents, there's joy before the angels of God in heaven. So they have the power to rejoice and have emotions and will and personality. In John 20, when Jesus was raised from the dead, Mary, remember, she was standing outside weeping at the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look inside the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, one where Jesus' head was and one sitting where his feet were. So angels are very well presented in Scripture as existing, as being all around us. And this is great, isn't it? Because we're able, as Christians, to see into the unseen by means of the Word of God. Now let me ask you another question here. Where did angels come from? Well, God created them. How old are they? When were they created? Well, we don't have a date exactly for that, but we do know that they've been around a lot longer than we have. If you look at the evil one, that fallen angel or cherubim, the devil, he was around 6,000 plus years ago in the garden and outwitted Eve and enticed her into sin. So they're very clever, they're very mighty, they're very intelligent, not to be underestimated. They've been around a long time. Now, let me ask another question. How many are there? Just a few? A big bunch? A lot? Well, let's open up the Bible and see what God teaches us. Again, seeing into the unseen. Revelation 5, we read this. John says, I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. So how many angels are there? Well, have you ever been out to Colorado on a beautiful dark night and looked up at the stars beyond number? So with the angels. You can't count them. They are in the tens of thousands and millions. This is all around us, all the time. Do you think about that? And unseen places. They are. Now, how many of you think are here in this room tonight, or this morning? How many are here in the sanctuary, or surrounding our building? How many are right here? If you had eyes to open, be opened up right now, and to see, do you think there are angels standing here in the midst right now? Yes. Guarding and proclaiming, helping the word to go forth into your hearts? And also, are there any evil spirits trying to come and splash and strike down the word, lest it get into a heart and a person believe and be encouraged? Sure. Well, how many? I don't know. But hello, angels. Remember that story there, that event in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha, the prophet, had been telling the king of Israel what the king of Syria was doing in his bedchamber, all his plots against Israel. And the king of Syria was very angry, and he says, I'm sending my army forth to murder Elisha. Well, the servant of Elisha gets up early in the morning, a young lad, and he looks out, and he's like, Master, out there, there's an army of men coming against us. But Elisha, meanwhile, is cool as a cucumber. He says, don't be afraid. He says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. What do you mean, would say the young man. You know, armies. And Elisha prayed and opened the eyes of the young man to see. And all of a sudden he sees all around them on the hills about the city, chariots of fire, the armies of God, their horsemen, angels in bright, shining glory. And Elisha then just steps out, blinds the enemy army, and leads them back to their own country, and they didn't even know it. And so the king of Syria says, no more attacking Israel. So, do you think they're in the room right here tonight? I mean today, why do I keep saying that? What kinds of angels are there? Well, have you ever seen the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood? We at least got the first two parts of that movie. We got the good, and we got the bad. There are the good spirits, like it says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. And then there are the evil spirits, fallen angels, demons. For Jesus in Luke 7 says, Jesus cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. Do you believe in these things? Are they around you right now? In Cape Canaveral? Yes. Are there wars going on in heavenly, unseen places over our heads and even about us where we are? Now, God created all things good. Amen? Amen. Did he create all the angels good? Yes, he did. In the beginning, they were all holy and good. But how do then we get evil spirits? Well, Satan, who is an angelic being of the cherubim type sorts, I'm not sure exactly what kind, but of a very high-ranking angelic creature, rebelled against God. And we read of that in Revelation. Let me open there and let God's word tell you about it and unfold it to us. We read, a sign, a portent, appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. With 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems upon his heads, and his tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Can you see right now in the unseen places, what does our enemy look like? A great red dragon. Can you get any better picture, any better story than the one that Scripture presents to us in the truth? I mean, every story we ever watch, there's a bad dragon, right? Well, in this case, we're fighting against one too. A great red dragon, horrible to behold. And his tail swept down to 1/3 of the stars of heaven. What's that mean? The stars here represent angels, which means 1/3 of the angelic hosts followed him, and he enticed them to rebel with him against God. Jude says in Jude 6, verse 6, the angels did not keep their own position, but left their proper dwelling and have been kept by God in eternal chains in the nether gloom, in the lower regions, until the judgment of the great day. So some of the angels, when they rebelled, got cast down to pits, far down deep, into regions of great darkness, and they're kept in eternal chains until God comes to judge the world. But other angels are about on the earth where we are, on our plane. Where do we read that? Let's let God unfold it to us once again, that we may see. Revelation 12 says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated. and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So where do you expect to find evil spirits right now? It's where we're living, on the earth. They move about on the earth, seeking to work as much evil as they possibly can, because we read a few verses later, "Rejoice, O heaven, and you that dwell therein, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." You know, the devils know that they have but little time left before God judges them, and they're about on the earth, right where we are, even in unseen places, but on our plane, working as much wickedness as they can. And what's that look like? Brokenness, destruction, ruined lives, bleeding hearts, blinded minds, people believing lies and deceptions. For what are the purposes of angels? Let's take a look at that for a moment. You got the bad angels, let's look at them first, and then we'll look at the good angels. The bad angels, the fallen angels, the demons, the evil spirits, their purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What a mission. You have, it says Revelation 9 says, they have king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. And name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. Can I translate his name for you? What does Abaddon mean? What's Apollyon mean? It means destroyer. How'd you like to stand up against that angel? Huh? I mean, mighty, strong, dark, shady, shadowy creature whose name is destroyer. Yikes. This guy's powerful. The devil, Jesus says, was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So what do the devils try to do in the world? Deceive people. Bring people into deceptions and lies to destroy their lives. That's how people get destroyed, by believing lies and not believing the truths of God. The devil is the prince of darkness, the prince of thieves, the chief evil spirit. If you want to put it in our vernacular, he's like the mafia boss, the godfather, an evil one, ruling over organized crime on the earth. And you've all seen the destruction and the lives and the hearts of people. Now, can people have an evil spirit attached to them, have their own evil guardian spirit in an evil way? Well, yeah, they can. Remember King Saul in the Bible? What happened to him? He had God's spirit, but then he rebelled against God. He didn't do God's will and command, and what did he get? An evil spirit got attached to him. So when Jesus came, what did he do? He cast evil spirits out of people because they had latched on. How do they latch on to people and get inside of a person's life? Through sin and unbelief. And they get in and they're like an infection. They start working wickedness and breeding lies and deception and darkness and such things and brokenness. Blinding minds from seeing the truth. Destroying souls. So that's the bad spirits. Okay, that's their purpose. What are the spirits of God? What's their purpose? The elect and holy angels. The good ones. Well, their purpose is, according to the Bible, of Psalm 148, verse 2, says, "Praise him, all ye his angels. Praise him, all his hosts." So you tell me, what are angels supposed to do? What's number one job? To praise God. To glory and have great joy in the Creator. Isn't that beautiful? This is what they do. Second thing here in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word." So what's the second thing angels do? They obey and do God's will. They rush to and fro, here and there, darting this way and that to perform his will. They're sort of like God's staff. You know, God could do all these things himself, by himself, but he prefers to do them through his angelic armies. He sends them forth to perform his will in all the earth. And especially, what do they do? Let's open up the Bible here in Hebrews chapter 1. Let God tell us. He says, "But to what angel has God ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make thy enemies a stool for thy feet'?" In other words, that is about Jesus. But then in verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation?" So what's the purpose of angels, the good ones? What are they going to do? Speak up.
Rush.
They rush to and fro at God's command to take care of you who are going to be guarded for salvation. Those who are to obtain salvation. They're sent forth to take care of you. Isn't that fantastic? Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, think about this. Guardian angels. Are there guardian angels? Guardian angels? Yes. And do you personally have angels assigned to you, do you think?
Yes.
Let's open up the Bible again. Matthew 18, Jesus says, "See that you don't despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who's in heaven." Whose angels? Their angels. In other words, these little ones have angels assigned to them, so don't go messing with them, because you mess with them, you're messing with angels, right? Who are looking at God's face, ready for a command. If you mess with this person, God, they're looking at God, and God's going to say, go get them. And they're going to go defend, protect, guard, keep those who are to obtain salvation. So do you have guardian angels? Listen to this promise here in Psalm 91. "Because you've made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tents. For he, God, will give his angels charge of you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Do you find that encouraging? That you have actual spirits, angels of superpowers, and lightning faces to come and take care of you? I mean, isn't that encouraging in your Christian life? They are sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. And these are spirits with personalities, with wills, with emotions, who do God's commands. And they have names. What are your angels' names? What angels have names in the Bible? Can you name at least two? I know of only two. Gabriel and
Michael.
Very good. You guys can preach the whole sermon. Gabriel, his name, think about if he were your angel. His name means and is translated, champion of God. And God is my strength. God is my hero. Wouldn't you like him for your angel? You know, someone watching over you saying, champion of God. And he's watching over you? Michael, his name means he who is like God. That's actually my middle name. I'm named after an angel. Maybe some of you are too. Think about the power of who's behind you. The great power that's around us every day that you can't see with your eyes. Now let's take the evil one. What about his power? The devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and all their glory of them when he tempted Jesus. Isn't that a lot of power right there? To take Jesus and whisk him up to a high mountain and show him everything like that? Power, I tell you. Great powers are at work here. And he says, "To you, Jesus, I'll give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. All this I'll give you if you fall down and worship me," says the devil. So all the kingdoms of the world were given to the evil one because of man's sin and unbelief. And so he has great powers, and he puts into positions of high authority in the world very wicked people. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world's in the power of the evil one," says John in 1 John 5. "And the devil is called the deceiver of the whole world," in Revelation 12. Lies is what he's about. Deception. And he enters into people's lives through sin and unbelief. So are you going to stand fast and strong? Put on the helmet of salvation and take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and go after and win? Got to be very careful, says Paul, because we're not contending or fighting against flesh and blood human beings here. Okay? We are contending and fighting against princes, against powers, against world rulers of the present darkness, spiritual hosts or armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. So you guys ready to fight? You got to fight. It's a war going on. But let's talk about the good angels now and the power that is on your side in this fight. Take heart. What kind of power is on your side? Let's take a look at a few angels here. Matthew 28. We read at Jesus' resurrection, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, a great rumble, and an angel of God descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it." Now, what kind of stone is this? Tons upon tons upon tons. This thing is massive. And you know what he does? Just whistles it away, nice and easy, and sits down on top of it. Power, I tell you, on your side, power. Oh boy. And his appearance was like lightning. Let's pick this out, flint and steel once again. Picture, he comes down and lightning, flashing this way and that. And he stands there, and for the sight of him, the guards became like dead men. Just lightning was his power and his strength. Also, we see in Revelation 10, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. Can you picture that? Is this what your angel looks like? A rainbow coming down over his head? And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. His legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. Oh, wow. Do you think that these kinds of creatures are watching over you daily to take care of you? This is what the scriptures teach. Remember Daniel, we just read, was in the lion's den. These things were ready to tear to pieces. And early in the morning, the king runs to see if Daniel's God was able to save him. And Daniel yells up, "No problem, king, I'm perfectly okay." Because God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they've not hurt me. Because I was blameless before him and before you, O king. God sends an angel and saves him from lions. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into a terrible, burning, fiery furnace. And the king, in a furious rage, says, "Burn them to death." Well, he throws them in, then he says, "Counselors, wise men, did I not cast 3 men into the fire? Why then do I see 4 standing in the midst of the flames, and the appearance of the 4th is like the son of the gods? Come forth." And they came forth unharmed out of the burning fiery furnace. Peter was saved the night before he was going to be killed and brought out by Herod. The angel appears to him in the jail, and a light shone all about in this dark cell, and he hears a man saying, "Get up, Peter, dress quickly, we need to get out of here." And he leads him out, and the chains fall off his hands, and out he goes. Have you been visited by an angel in your life? Protected, guarded, and kept? Maybe in unseen places? Sort of like you're actors on a stage, okay? We're all actors. And you know the people behind the scenes that always move the big sets? You know, and they try not to be seen, but they're moving stuff around to make everything come together? The angels are like that in your life. I remember right before I was married, 2 weeks before I was married, I was in a car accident. 2 trucks collided on the road before me, and I tried to pull off the road to get out of the way, and the truck came over and smashed right into my driver's side. I flew 20 feet through the air into a pine tree, which snapped my axle in half, blew out all my windows, destroyed my car, and after the whole thing was over, I was totally unharmed. Do you think an angel was involved in that? You think? Well, I didn't see him, but when the policeman came, he's like, "Oh, where's the man who was in this car?" I'm like, "Here I am. I'm perfectly fine." We have the guy who painted our picture there in the narthex of Christ's resurrection. His name is Bill, a good friend of mine. I talked with him 2 weeks ago. He said once he was driving the youth group home from an event on a highway, and there was a truck ahead of them kind of going slow, and he wanted to pass. And he heard out loud, not inside, but out loud, "Don't pass." He was like, "Who said that?" And nobody had said that. Well, at that moment, a motorcycle goes by and gets into a huge demolishing accident, and their lives were saved because a voice came to him and said, "Don't pass." He said, that was an angel. I remember when I was getting saved, actually, I was going down a wrong path in my life, and I was on a road in Maine going down a highway, a country highway, and out in the middle of nowhere, a car slams on its brakes ahead of me, and I slam on my brakes, but I'm just going to hit them, so I have to try to gotta go on the shoulder. Well, there was a man happened to be standing there in the middle of nowhere to make sure that I came back and hit the car about 10 miles an hour. Nobody was hurt. My car was damaged. And then my car just happens to limp back up the road about a quarter mile to guess whose house? The guy that drew that picture in the narthex, Bill Wallace, Christian artist. Beth had tried to get me to meet him, and here was my opportunity. My car was in an accident right there. And he led me through his gallery, and I came to Christ, came back to salvation and faith in Jesus. Do you think that was ordained or ordered by angels? Arranged? Absolutely, I believe so. How about the man standing on the side of the road? After that, he just sort of disappeared. Now, maybe it was just a guy. Maybe it was just a man, flesh and blood. Or maybe, I've often wondered, was that an angel? Because Scripture says that don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And how do we receive their great help? Think about this. Prayer. We read of Daniel, when he met Gabriel, he said, "No strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed. I retained no strength, but the angel touched me, set me on my hands and knees, trembling." He said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words." Do you think that sometimes we are neglecting the angelic help because we neglect prayer? He says, Gabriel, he's standing there before Daniel. He says, "I've come on account of your words." Wow! Think about this. Pray. God sends his angels in answer to our prayers to God to help us. And even then, don't get discouraged if you don't see it right away. For Gabriel says to Daniel, as soon as you prayed, I was on my way. But then came the prince of the kingdom of Persia, a very high-ranking wicked demon, and he withstood me, and we grappled for 21 days until one of our side, Michael, the great prince, came and took over the fight, and that released me and set me free to come and deliver to you this message. But he came on account of his words. Who are we? We are God's ground forces. The angels are God's air force, and you have the power to call to God. And not seek angels, but call to God, and he will send the Air Force to help you in need. I met an Army Ranger one time, Special Forces, in Afghanistan. And they were being backed up. He and his team were getting backed up into a sea, he said. We were up this far into the water, firing our machine guns at the enemy. They were most over the hill. Tanks rolling at them, a huge army of like 1,000 people. They were on the radio. "We need help. We need air, air cover right now, or we're dead." Well, the headquarters, they're asking for F-15s. They said, "We got no F-15s, but there are two A-10s nearby." And they came over, and the guy told me, person to person, he said, they rushed over our heads at like 100 feet off the deck over the sea. Raced in, went over the hill, and boom, up in a ball of fire went their enemy, and they were saved because they called. Do you think that in our prayers, the same thing might happen? That you're in trouble and you say, "God, I need some angels down here helping me right away. Well, I don't have any F-15s right here, but I got two A-10s. Here they come." Roar over your heads and boom, out goes your enemy. Well, do not neglect prayer. Jesus says, "Don't you think that I can appeal to my Father? That once he'll send me more than 12 legions of angels? I could have the whole Air Force here like that if I wanted to. But no, I'm going to go to the cross that the scriptures might be fulfilled." So what shall we say of angels? You don't seek them, okay? You don't worship them. You're not out to get experiences with angels. But we do want to know we have friends in high places. And the person we look to is Jesus and to God, because Jesus said the ruler of this world's coming. That very darkened prince of darkness, that chief mafia boss of organized crime, he's coming to get me. But don't worry, he has no power over me. But I'm going to go as the Father has said. And he went straight to the cross. He forgave our sins. He canceled the bond which stood against us. He nailed the law to the cross, setting us free. And then it says he disarmed the princes, the evil spirits, and all those hosts of wickedness. He took away their weapons, and he gave us the freedom through his cross. Jesus says it used to be, God, angels, evil spirits, and then us. We've now been notched up above evil spirits. He says, "I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. But don't be afraid. They cannot hurt you, but don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven." Isn't that beautiful? You have authority over all evil spirits, Jesus says. But it's even better than that. One day we're going to even go up another notch. Because guess what? When the angel sins, Jesus didn't become an angel. and redeem angels and die for angels somehow to redeem angels. They're done when they sin. But Jesus became a man to set us up on his throne in the world to come. That's above angels. They're not going to sit on God's throne. We will. We read here that thou didst make man for a little while lower than the angels. But in a little while we'll be above the angels, where Jesus is in the world to come. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we're speaking. The world to come is subjected to man. You are and we are the king's children. And the angels are like marines guarding the king's children until they come of age. One day we'll be set up to rule in the world to come. But in the meantime, know that you have friends in high places. The Air Force. Call on God and he will send them. And we're going to especially rejoice that we have the highest friend in high places. That's God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior, who has given us a perfect salvation through his cross and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.